Warm welcome to you. We're glad for all of you that are here with us this morning. Enjoyed singing those songs of the beautiful night when Christ came to earth and the star that shone above him there. But this morning, we're thinking of a different night, 33 years later. And there's a song just a few pages on down, "Tis Midnight." And I've often thought when we sing this song of the contrast between those two nights. The one a joyful welcoming, the other one a time of grief and sadness. And yet, at its core, the same chorus that the angels sang was the one that throbbed through this dark night as Jesus was in Gethsemane. As he was wrestling with what needed to be done, it was that same joyful chorus that was carrying on, because it was continuing the plan of God. In the song, "Tis Midnight," one of the phrases in there that often hits me says, "The star is dimmed that lately shone." And we love the star of Christmas. We love that beautiful, joyful, it's a feel-good star. But here it says the star is dimmed. But it's not out. It's not extinguished. And it's going to shine even brighter from the tomb when Christ rises again. But today we're gathered thinking about that midnight, that dark time, that time when it felt like everything was crashing down, like all those promises of Christmas were empty, when this beautiful coming felt like it was just a farce, and now all this wonderment was going away. But it wasn't. It wasn't. This was simply a continuation and a culmination of the beautiful plan of redemption. I want to talk a little bit this morning, and I've talked about this before. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. Which seems a little bit strange, maybe, because it's the story of Peter's denial of Jesus. The reason it's my favorite story is because of Christ and the way that he took this man who did everything wrong on this night, messed up over and over, and he took that and turned it from what could have been recrimination and bitterness and turned it into a beautiful story of redemption. I'm just going to tell the story. It's in each one of the Gospels, in Matthew 26, in Luke 22, in Mark 14, in John 13 and 18. But I'm just going to combine them, and I'm just going to tell the story. And children, I know you don't have children, or you don't have Sunday school this morning. So I'm just going to tell the story, and then I'm going to ask you some questions afterwards, and anybody can give some answers. This story starts all the way back at the Last Supper. And that was the time when Jesus gathered his disciples together to celebrate the Passover. Jesus and his 12 special friends, his 12 disciples, they gathered together in this room, and they had a special time together of sharing. And it is from that time that Jesus said, "You continue to do this now." And that's why we're here this morning. It's because Jesus commanded us to continue to do this, to remember what was going to happen. And one of his closest friends there, one of the men at that supper, was named Peter. And they were talking. Jesus told them many things at that supper. But one thing he told them is he said that, "I'm going to be taken away." And Peter didn't like that. And he said, "I don't want that to happen." He said, "If you have to go somewhere, I'm going to go with you." He said, "I'll go with you to prison or to death." And Jesus looked at Peter. And he said so kindly, "Peter, you don't even know. But today, before the rooster crows twice, you're going to deny me three times." And Peter was horrified. He was absolutely aghast. He knew he wouldn't do that. He knew how much he loved Jesus. He knew that in his heart he would follow Jesus to the death. And so he said, I won't. I absolutely won't. Well, later on, after dinner, Jesus and his friends, they sang a song. Then they went to a special garden where they prayed. Eventually, soldiers came, men came, took Jesus away. Peter said that he's gonna do this thing that he promised Christ. He was gonna stay with him, and so he jumped forward with a sword. And Lauren talked about that last Sunday. He jumped forward with a sword and chopped off one of the ears of one of the servants. And Jesus was not impressed. He said, "Don't do that." He even healed the man's ear. And then they took him away, and Peter kind of hung back, and he sort of followed at a distance. And they went to the high priest's house, and Jesus went inside, and one of the other disciples went inside, but Peter was out there. He just kind of wanted to see what was going to happen. And as he was hanging around out there, a girl came up, and she said, "You were with Jesus of Galilee." Peter said, "No, no, not me. No, I wasn't." He could see that things were not going the way that he wanted them to. Here he thought that, you know, when he attacked with his sword, that now they would be able to really fight. And Jesus said, "No, you don't do that." And so now Peter was a little bit confused, and he said, no, I'm not with him." Well, he stayed around, hung around out there, and a while later another girl came out, and she said, "I know that. I saw you with them." And Peter, this time it says he swore an oath, which is like saying, I promise that I don't know Jesus. And then a little while later, some others came out, and one of them was a relative of this man that Peter had chopped his ear off. And so he had been there, and he said, "I know I saw you in the garden." And several of them said, "Yeah, he was there." And now Peter started to curse and to swear, say bad words. And he said, "No, I don't know Jesus. I don't know who this was. I wasn't there. What are you talking about?" And then right after he said those things, he heard the rooster crow the second time. And he was so sad. He was so sad because here, this very thing that Jesus said would happen had happened. And he didn't mean for it to. He didn't want it to. He really did want to follow Jesus. He really meant to follow him all the way to the death. But here, he had made this terrible, terrible blunder. And he had said, "I don't even know him." And he was so sad. And the Bible says that he wept bitterly. Later on, Peter didn't have any more chance to talk to Jesus after this. Until after he rose from the dead. But when he did, Jesus came to Peter with forgiveness. And he gave him some important work to do. He said, "I have a special job for you." And the reason I love this story is that it shows that even when we make mistakes, if we repent, then Jesus is ready to forgive us if we're sorry. So I've got just a couple questions now. See if you children can. They're pretty easy. They're pretty easy. You don't have to worry about getting them wrong. So, first one is, what did Jesus tell Peter would happen before the rooster crowed? You can just shout it out. You don't have to raise your hand. This isn't school. What did Jesus tell Peter would happen? Anyone? Well, you know, I was a teacher. I didn't let my students get by without talking. So if they didn't talk voluntarily, then I make them talk. So I'm going to pick on somebody. Chloe, I can see you right there. What did Jesus tell Peter would happen?
He
That's exactly right. Good job, Chloe. Thank you. You get a sticker. All right. How many times did Peter say he didn't know Jesus? Christopher? How many times did Peter say he didn't know Jesus? That's right. Thank you, Christopher. Good job. What happened after Peter denied Jesus the third time? An animal did something. What did it do? Yes. Thank you. Good job, whoever that was. And then I'm just going to ask you one more question. This is a very easy one. Did Jesus forgive Peter? Yes, very good. Thank you. Good job. Okay. I'm just going to draw a few lessons from here for us this morning. And then maybe at the end of this, we'll have a song for all the children. But one of the things that I see in this story is that Jesus knew the struggle that Peter was going to face. When he, in Luke 22, he told him, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And it was right after this then that Peter said, "Oh, far be it from me. I'll go with you to prison and to death." But he said, "This is going to be hard for you." Jesus knew it was going to be hard. And it takes real grace for real struggles, just as it takes real forgiveness for real wrongs. And we feel our need of God more when we're at the end of our rope, when we're at the end of our strength, when we're at the end of our knowledge, when we're at the end of our wisdom, and when we're at the end of ourselves. Peter himself didn't know how hard the fight would be. He thought he had the strength. He was confident in his ability to handle whatever it was that came his way. He was a tough fisherman, and he thought that in time of testing, he would never fail. He knew what his heart was. He knew he desired to follow God, and he figured that he would never fail. But Jesus expected failure. He expected failure, and he even predicted it. He even laid out exactly the way that it was going to happen. And we strive for perfection. But does Jesus always expect us to be perfect? He doesn't. God expects failure from us. Now, I'm not saying that in a way that excuses us, but I am saying that in a way that Jesus knows we're human, which is why he laid out this plan of redemption for us. And Jesus had already forgiven this failure that he knew Peter was going to make. Knowing that Peter would deny him, knowing that Peter would curse him, knowing that Peter would distance himself from him as far as possible in the time when Jesus needed him most, he forgave him, knowing that that was going to happen. Already he had forgiven Peter. And Jesus had work for Peter. Knowing that he would deny him, knowing that he would fail him, Jesus still gave Peter a job to do because he knew his heart. And he knew that even though he would fail, he loved God with all his heart and he was intent on following him. And that's an encouragement to me because God knows our hearts. He knows our failures. He knows our denials. He knows our distance from him. He also knows if we're trying. He knows if we're seeking. He knows if we're intent on following him. And if we can be like Peter and acknowledge our sins and repent, then we can be like Peter and find redemption and forgiveness and finally joy in our walk with Christ. So this story is one, I think, of victory in the sense that we are weak. We have good intentions. Many times we mess up terribly. Many times we hurt each other in ways that we don't even recognize. Maybe in ways that we never intended to. But we do. We hurt each other. And I think that we need to have the same attitude that Jesus had when although he knew that Peter was going to hurt him. And remember, Peter wasn't just a servant out there. Peter was his close friend. He was betrayed by a close friend, and he was denied by a close friend. And yet, knowing that ahead of time, Jesus forgave. And that's just a challenge to me, because there are times when our friends hurt us. And we can respond in one of two ways. We can respond in distance, isolation, and bitterness, or we can forgive them even before it happens, knowing that they are human and this kind of thing happens because we're human. And when it happens, we approach it, not meaning it's not difficult, but we approach it knowing ahead of time that forgiveness is what will come out of our lives, because it was the example given to us by Jesus. I'd like to sing a song for the children. Let's just sing Jesus Loves Me, a nice simple one. We just stood, so I was going to have a stand, but I don't think I will since we just stood. Children, I like to hear you guys sing nicely and loudly. One of my favorite things about hymn singing is when you children come up front and sing. So that's one reason I chose this song, because I know you can belt it out. All right? Let's sing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Let's bow our heads for prayer.